series of messages between now and Christmas on the journey to Jesus. You know, each and every one of us are on a journey to eternity. And I hope and pray that on that journey to eternity, you're going to cross paths with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because all of life is it's not worth it. If you live life according to this world to its fullest and die without Jesus Christ to spend a Christless eternity in a place called hell, what good is your life's journey only to end up in a place called hell? How sad would that be? And this morning as we consider this, I want you to look what it says in Matthew chapter number 2 and look at verse number 1 and 2 and a very familiar passage of Scripture that deals with the wise men that came from the east. History records that these men were magi. They were influential. They were learned men. They were men of science. They were astronomers. By the way, they were not astrologers, as some people think. They were astronomers. And that's why they understood about the special star that appeared and followed them. Some people think that it was maybe a group of stars like we might see that maybe appeared, and maybe it was three of our planets that lined up. But isn't it kind of funny that the Bible says that the star went before them? And then when the wise men, they were approaching, it just stood and stayed right over top of Bethlehem. So it had to be some type of supernatural thing that the Lord had sent. But I want you to notice what it says in Matthew chapter number 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." These wise men were on a journey. They are on a journey to find the Messiah. They're on a journey to find the Savior. They said, "We saw His star and we are come to worship Him." You know, the end result of coming to Jesus Christ is found in the end of verse number 2. We are come to worship Him. Let's bow our heads, please. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before You, I pray that You just enlighten us through Your Word today. Lord, take me out of the equation. And Lord, I pray that they would only look to You, the author and the finisher of our faith. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless in a great way. And Lord, might we learn something as these individuals made this great journey, a journey to Jesus. Lord, I pray that we would take that journey also and consider what is at hand. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. You know, we are living today in a day of instant gratitude, instant gratification. We have instant everything, instant popcorn, instant oatmeal. We have just about instant anything. Anything you can throw inside of a microwave, 60 seconds later, you pull it out and you can just about eat it. It just seems like we live in a day of instant gratification. Years ago, if you wanted something, you had to work for it. Isn't that a unique thing to think about? Amen? If you wanted to have health insurance, you paid for it. Amen. If you wanted to have something nice, you went out and you worked a job and you saved and you waited until you could afford it and then you went out and bought it. That's the way it worked. And yet young couples today, we find they get married and immediately they want to go ahead and have everything that their grandma and grandpa has taken 50 years to earn. Maybe their parents has taken 30 years to save up and to buy. And the young people, they want to have these things right now. I was talking to a lady a couple months back, and she said, when my husband and I got married, she said, we didn't have a kitchen table. We used an orange crate. And we sat on orange crates, and we ate off of orange crates. Most people wouldn't do that today. Most people wouldn't scrimp and save and try to do all that they could in order to try to buy something better later. They want it right now. I really believe that what we are willing to sacrifice the most for will be the most cherished in our lives. What you are willing to sacrifice the most for will be what you cherish the most in life. If you don't labor for it, if you don't sacrifice for it, it won't mean a whole lot to you. Maybe this is why the Lord isn't very cherished in Christians' lives today. Maybe it's because there hasn't been a whole lot of sacrifice in the Christian lives in the 20th and the 21st century in which we live. We live in a day of easy everything. And unfortunately, we live in a day when there is even easy believism. Oh yeah, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and He's just one more God that you have sitting on your shelf that you pull off whenever there's a time of need, and then you say, you know what, I'm going to worship Him today, only to put Him away when you don't need Him anymore. John said in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 20, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And I feel that Jesus Christ, for the average Christian today, is nothing more than one more idol that we have on a shelf. That we pull Him off whenever we need Him, and we put Him away when we don't want to be around Him. Of course, we all know it doesn't work that way. You see, I think this is the reason why the Lord is not cherished in most Christian lives, is because there hasn't been a whole lot of sacrifice on the part of the child of God for the relationship that they have with the Lord Jesus Christ. There will never, and there has never been, any real sacrifice. That is, if a person has sacrificed in their life, they're going to have something great and something cherished in their life. But I don't see that happening. I remember a story about a missionary back in the early 1800s. His name was Adoniram Judson. And Adoniram Judson lived in England. And there was a Baptist union that was there that actually controlled all missions around the world. And God had burdened him with the people in the area of Bangladesh, basically where Bangladesh is today. And he was really burdened and he surrendered to go to the people. But he had to go ahead and go before all of the mission board there and present it to them. And they said, no, we are not going to send you. Those people are heathen people. They will reject you. And you probably won't come out alive. We're not going to send you. And then Adoniram Judson said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I believe that God's called me to go there. And they said, it doesn't make any difference. You're not going. And he says, yes, I am. And so he paid for his own passage. He sold everything that he had. Him and his wife got on a ship that sailed all the way around Africa, up through the Indian Ocean, and finally arrived on the other side of India in a place what we would call today in the Bangladesh area. He sacrificed everything in order to go. While he was there, his wife got sick. He was thrown into prison. No converts. His wife died while he was in jail. He finally got out. He went back to England, and you know what they said? We told you so. And he said, as soon as I get my strength and finances, I'm going back. God gave him another spouse, burdened his heart about the field, burdened her heart about the field. They went back to the place that God called them. Another trip all the way around Africa, around the peninsula of India and up to Bangladesh, only for a repeat happening to go happen all over again. And Adoniram Judson was thrown into jail. His wife came down with tuberculosis. She ended up getting weak and frail and finally died. And after the military uprising was over, he was released. During that time, his wife also, not only did she die, but several of their children died. The only one that was left was him. And during that time, he didn't really have hardly any converts. So what did he do? He went back to England. And the people there, they welcomed him with, I told you so. Wasn't that an encouragement? And there, he said, you know, I'm going back. They said, you're crazy. Don't go back there. You're going to die there. He says, that's where God's called me. Then that's where I'll die. God gave him another wife. If I was that woman, I'd be a little skeptical at this time. God gave him another wife. And so they set sail around Africa, through the Indian Ocean, around the peninsula of India. And there they made their landfall in the Bangladesh area. and another military coup took over. Before that happened, Adam Ira Judson and his wife were able to see a few people saved, and a work began. He had labored for over 20 years without seeing a convert. 20 years. He lost everything. And finally, another military coup came in and took over the land, threw all the missionaries and pastors in jail, and that pastor, Adam Ira Judson, that missionary, was thrown in jail. His wife, by the name of Annie, came to visit him and said, "The work goes on, Adam Ira. The work goes on." Adam Ira Judson got sick. And finally, he died in jail. And most people would look at that life and they would say, "You know what? What a great waste of a man's life. He sacrificed everything for nothing." His wife, Annie Judson, went back to England. And she went before the mission board and pled the case. And men's hearts broke for that area. And all of a sudden, revival took place. And thousands of people in that Bangladesh, India area were saved. All because a man was willing to sacrifice for the cause of Jesus Christ. And as we consider the wise men in this Christmas narrative, let's remember that the journey to Jesus took great sacrifice. There is nothing ever accomplished that will ever really be of any lasting value unless we're willing to sacrifice for it. And those wise men, as they were coming to find the Messiah, they were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to put it all on the line that they might be able to meet the Lord. I wish we would catch just a glimpse of that today. If we really want to get a hold of God, maybe there's some great sacrifice on our part that needs to take place. I want you to notice several things. Number one, look at verse number 2 of this passage. I want you to notice that there was a sacrifice to come to Jesus. A sacrifice to come to Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. I want you to notice, first of all, it was a sacrifice of hardship. It was a sacrifice. In order for those wise men from the east to get to Jesus, there was hardship that was involved. Most people, historians say that these people came from the Babylonian area. They probably came through what was called the Silk Highway. And they traveled down and they came into the Holy Land by camel. Can you imagine? By camel, about 600 miles. That's like from here to Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to travel from here to Atlanta, Georgia, give me a nice luxury car. I'll even drive a pickup truck, but don't give me a camel to go 600 miles. Amen? How many of you have ever ridden on a camel? Anybody? A few of you? Bless your heart. All right, you can have it. I've watched people ride those things, and I've watched people actually be involved in races on those camels. You know those things? They don't run like a horse. It's just completely opposite. I see these guys going back and forth and back and forth on top of those camels and half of them about fall off. You know, I imagine it was a very difficult and a hard journey. I'll take my leather seats. Heated and air conditioned, please. You say, "Preacher, you're spoiled." I am. And I like it that way. Amen? But it was a sacrifice that encountered hardship. You say, "Well, what hardships were there?" Well, first of all, I want you to notice in verse number 1, it talks about they came to Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. The whole world was being controlled by Rome. And Jerusalem had its province, and there was a king that was there that was ruling over that land area, and his name was Herod. You say, "Well, what type of a person was he?" Number one, he was a liar and a deceiver. Look at verse number 8 of this same chapter, chapter number 2. The wise men came, and all of a sudden there was an uproar and said, hey, there's strangers here in the Jerusalem, Bethlehem area, and they say that they're coming to worship the king and they're looking for a Messiah. Herod was a little troubled because he was the king. He didn't want anybody to infringe upon his territory. So in verse number 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And he gathered the scribes together and he said, hey, where is he supposed to be born? You know, isn't it interesting? They went to the exact passage of Scripture that talks about it in Micah 5:2. It said he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's what the prophet said. And then Herod, verse number 7, when he had privily called the wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, he said in verse number 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. But if you read the rest of the chapter, you find out that was not the intent of Herod the king. The intent of Herod the king was, let's find him and I'm going to destroy him, I'm going to kill him, so that this individual will not take my place. He will not take my place as king. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 13. Or verse number 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Can you imagine that? You know, children are so precious. And, you know, the children that's back in our nursery and back in our toddlers area and the ones, all the children right now that are back in junior church and they're singing those songs and they're learning those Bible stories, you know, they're just so precious. I cannot understand why anybody would ever hurt a child. We have heard recently in the news of children that's been beaten and some of them have been murdered, and my heart breaks. As well as most of you that have heard those stories. And we think to ourselves, how in the world could a person do something like that? And here was a king, one that was ruling over the whole area. By the way, he was a Jewish king under Roman occupancy. He was supposed to know God, and he said, you know what? I'm going to destroy all the children in the whole area around Jerusalem from 2 years old and down. There had to have been thousands of children that were murdered. Thousands of children. I'm here to tell you that the journey that the wise men made, it was a journey of sacrifice. This sacrifice encountered hardship. Why? Because Herod was a deceiver. He was a liar. Herod was ruthless, verse number 16. But it was a journey of hardship because it encountered faith. You listen to me, those wise men, they saw the star. They had to leave their homeland and they left by faith. I'm here to tell you the journey to Jesus Christ is a journey of faith. And sometimes that journey will take you places where you will not even understand why I'm doing what I'm doing, but it's a step of faith and it's the right thing to do. Amen? And so we need to go ahead and understand that it was a time of hardship. It was a time of sacrifice. The sacrifice encountered faith. Faith to follow a star. That's kind of odd. And yet, understanding what they understood about science and understanding what they understood about astronomy, they said, this is a sign from God. We need to follow the star. It took faith to follow that star. But when they came and they found the child there in the home in verse number 12, in verse number 12, it says this. Actually, verse 11, they came and worshipped him. They presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. By the way, how many wise men were there? Everybody says, well, preacher, there was 3. We don't know that for sure. There really is no mention. Now, we think that there might have been 3 because there was 3 gifts. And we assume those things, but there could have been 6, there could have been 12, there could have been 2. We don't know. But we do know this. They came and they fell down and they worshipped him.
By the way, they didn't worship Mary. They didn't worship Mary. Was Mary a very special person? Absolutely. She was one that was chosen by God to bring forth this Son of God into the world. Was she worshipped? Never you'll find in the Scripture where Mary was worshipped. Never. It was always the Lord Jesus Christ that was worshipped. And we find here in this passage of Scripture in verse number 12, it says, being warned of God. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. This journey, it was a journey of faith. They had to listen to this dream that came to them, and all of a sudden it was so real, and they said, you know what? We have to, all of the events has taken place, the star that has guided us is here, and we found the Messiah that was said was going to be born according to the Old Testament prophets, and now we need to go ahead and we need to listen to this dream. Maybe it was a dream that came to all three of them at different times. We don't know. It took faith to listen to God. And on our journey to the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to me, it's going to take faith to go ahead and listen to the Word of God over all the voices that are out there in the world. Amen. Being warned of God. Look what it says in the last part of verse number 12. I like this. It says, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. You know, after they met the Lord Jesus Christ there in that home, and he was probably about 2 years old at that time, we find that after they met the Lord, the Bible says they departed another way. I want you to repeat that with me. They departed another way. When you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to leave a different way than you came. Amen? It's not going to be the same. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And listen, when I met the Lord Jesus Christ, when I left a different way than the way I came. Amen. And so I want you to understand here, there was a sacrifice in order to come to Jesus. There was a sacrifice of encountered hardships. There was a sacrifice that encountered faith. And then I want you to notice the second thing. There is still sacrifice to come to Jesus today. There is still sacrifice to come to Jesus today. In 1776, Thomas Paine, in writing about freedom, he said this. He said, what we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. Let me repeat that. What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. And that is the truth. I want you to notice, there is still sacrifice to come to Jesus. Look over the book of Luke. Hold your place here. Look at Luke chapter number 9. Look at verse 23. Y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. And Jesus said unto them all, there is none that's excluded. He said to us all. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Jesus said, if you're going to come to me, there is a sacrifice that is going to be involved in it. And today, listen, if we're going to come and we're going to come to the Lord, there's going to be a sacrifice that's going to be involved in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a day and an age when everything is just, you know, it's just hunky-dory, everything is free, and you know what? There's no sacrifice involved. But you know what? I believe today that most people have a false religion because it's come as you are, leave as you came. And that's not what the Bible talks about. In Luke chapter number 9, I want you to notice, Jesus said, if you're going to come unto me, first of all, he said, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. The sacrifice of self-denial. You know, there's all kinds of things in this world that we would all love to have. Amen? I mean, vacations, automobiles, nice homes, nice clothes. And you know what? Most of us could probably go out and get any of that stuff that we wanted to at any given time. All we have to do is go ahead and flash a credit card and then pay for it later. Right? You say, you look at me, you're shaking your head, no, that's not the way we do it. I hope you don't do it that way. But I'm here to tell you, sacrifice takes self-denial. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you need to deny yourself. You see, if a person is going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to have to deny themselves of being in charge. They're going to have to deny themselves and say, you know what? I am not going to run my own life. I'm not going to go ahead and control my own life. I'm not going to follow my own path in life. I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is going to be King. He is going to be Lord of my life, and I'm going to follow Him. You know, that sets against the grain of humanity itself. Because human nature says this, I'm in charge. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to live the way I want to live. Hey, have you ever tried that? It doesn't work very well. It doesn't work very well at all. Matter of fact, I found the greatest place to be and the safest place to be and the most enjoyable place to be is exactly where God wants me to be. Amen? Now, I want you to notice, it takes, number one, self-denial. And then it says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up, what's that say? His cross. You realize as a child of God, you have got a cross to bear. Now, you have to understand what the cross was. Now, I know some of you ladies are here today, and you probably have a nice little gold cross around your neck, and a lot of women wear little nice gold jewelry, maybe in their ears. I hope it's not in your nose, all right? But on your ears or around your neck, it has a nice little cross in it, and we think of those things and we say, oh, isn't that a pretty little cross? May I remind you, the cross was never intended to be beautiful. The cross was a symbol of death. The cross was a symbol of suffering. The cross was a symbol of rejection. When those people were crucified, they were nailed on that cross and they were rejected by society, rejected by their peers. It was a sign of rejection. It was a sign of humiliation. Jesus said, if anybody's going to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. The cross of Christ. The cross that brings ridicule for being a Christian. The cross of being scorned because you're in church instead of doing what everybody else does. The cross of giving to the Lord's work when you could go ahead and go ahead and spend that money someplace else. The cross of suffering shame for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, the reason why Christians do not cherish the Lord like they should is because they've never learned to suffer for the Lord like they should. Amen? And if you would be willing to suffer for the Lord and take up your cross, the cross of shame and the cross of ridicule and the cross of rejection and bear the cross of Christ in your Christian life, what would end up happening is this. You as a child of God would learn to cherish the Savior, the one that loved you and died for you on the cross of Calvary. You see, there is still a sacrifice to come to Jesus. The sacrifice of self-denial, the sacrifice of bearing the cross. Romans 10:11 says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in Him should not be ashamed. In Romans 1 and verse number 16, it's the Apostle Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In Philippians 1:20 it says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. In 2 Timothy 1:8 it says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul said, Timothy, he said, Christian, Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a part of bearing the cross. I want you to notice, not only is the sacrifice of bearing the cross, but it is the sacrifice of being consistent. Look what it says there in Luke 9, verse number 23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. What's that next word? Daily. You see, the child of God that learns to daily walk with the Lord, to daily be in the Word, to daily be in prayer, to every time the doors are open at the church, Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, to be there in the house of God, those are the individuals are going to learn to appreciate and to love the Lord with the greatest of their ability and heart. Amen? Amen. Being consistent. Someone once said, consistency, thou art a jewel. I'll be honest with you. My greatest struggle as a pastor and as a Christian is being consistent. How many's with me? Amen? We all have trouble with that. And that's why, according to Philippians 1:27, we need to be striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's why we need to be striving together. Because there's sometimes when a brother or a sister is weak and they need to have someone come along them, grab them by the arm and say, hey, let's run the race together. Amen? And we need to be running along in that race and maybe even sometimes dragging some people along. Amen? Until they get their strength back and they can go ahead and run for themselves. Amen? And so as a child of God, we need to have the sacrifice of being consistent. The greatest things, Dad, that you can do for your family is live a consistent, godly, Christian life. The greatest thing, moms, that you can do in your life is living a consistent, godly, Christian life. It doesn't make any difference how much money you have. It doesn't make any difference how many toys you have. When all of life is over and you stand before God, the greatest thing that you can impart to your children is a godly heritage. Amen. I want you to notice the last part of verse 23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and... what's the next two words? Follow me. You know, we need to be following the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the sacrifice of following Jesus. Not following someone on Facebook. Not following a sports hero. Certainly, I hope you're not following the Buckeyes anymore. Amen. Ooh, that was horrible. Pretty ugly. But you know, there are people that will go ahead and follow a sports team. And I'm telling you what, they would die for their favorite sports team. You know, God doesn't want you to really die for Him. He just wants you to live for Him. Amen? There are those that will follow a political figure. I'm so sick and tired of hearing everything about Nelson Mandela. Most people don't understand that his philosophies were communistic. That the reason why he was thrown into jail, and I realize he stood up against apartheid, and apartheid had a lot of evil things that had happened with it. But he was involved in major civil disobedience and also of murdering people. Most people don't understand that. And the media is hailing him as a hero. I'm hoping he had a change of heart while he was in prison. But I'm here to tell you, and I'm all for human rights. I don't care what color a person's skin is. I think we all ought to be treated equally and the same. Amen? But I'm here to tell you, there are people that will stand up for Nelson Mandela and will not stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a problem with that. Amen. If there's one person that we ought to stand up for, and that is the Lord. Amen? We are not to follow our favorite sports team and not our favorite political figure. We're not to follow the world, the flesh, or the devil. Not a career. We're to follow Christ. At the end of your life, you will have no regrets if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I think that if you follow money and wealth, and you follow your favorite sports team, and you follow your favorite political figure all through life, and you die without Jesus Christ, you'll have regrets for eternity. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Another passage says that we need to hate our father and mother. And what Jesus was saying is we shouldn't really hate them, but in comparison to our love for God, it ought to look like hate. How much do you love the Lord? Let me close with this idea. Not only is there sacrifice to come to Jesus, not only was there sacrifice for the wise men's part, but the wise men were willing to make sacrifices on their way to Jesus. In Luke chapter number 14, verse 33, it says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. The wise men forsook everything. I don't know how long their journey was. But I do know this. They followed that star for probably over 600 miles on a very treacherous and rugged path. It probably took several years to go from the Babylonian area where they came from all the way to Bethlehem. It probably took at least 2 years. Because we find that it took at least another 2 years for Herod to say, whatever happened to those wise men anyway? Well, I'm going to go out and kill all the children from 2 years old and under. Probably 2 years there and several months in Bethlehem and 2 years back. Think about that. I think they had to make great sacrifices. They left their family. They left their careers. They left everything they had, not knowing if they'd ever make it back. And they were willing to make sacrifices on their journey to Jesus Christ. The question this morning is this. Are you willing, as we approach this Christmas season, are you willing to make sacrifices to come to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to make sacrifices? Remember what Thomas Paine said in 1776, what we have obtained too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives us everything, that gives everything its value. Our Christian life has been made possible by the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His sinless life, His sacrificial death, and His powerful resurrection over death in the grave has afforded to each and every one life and life more abundantly. If you would be willing to repent of your sin and turn from self and turn to the Savior, He is willing to save whosoever will. That means you. He'll save you from your sin. As we come to Christmas, as we come to the end of this message, let us remember, there is great sacrifice in coming to Christ. But when all of life is over, you'll be glad you made the sacrifice. Denying self, turning from sin, and turning to the Savior. It's only when we are willing to pay the price of sacrifice will the journey to Jesus be of great value in your life. Let's bow our heads, please.